And our next item is report by regional boards. And we'll start on my left, Mr. Delgado, Mayor Delgado.
Nothing to report. Thank you.
Can you come back around to me in a minute, Chair Wolf? I'm still a little discombobulated from arriving late.
All right. Yes, and for the record, Mr. Johnston has arrived. Ray?
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to report. On Monday, though, I did attend a farm worker forum in Santa Maria where farm worker issues and pesticide issues were discussed. That's it. Pardon?
Attended something in Santa Barbara.
When?
A storm water. Didn't you?
When?
Your microphone.
I attend so many things, I can't quite remember.
Well, the city of Santa Barbara was unveiling.
Oh, correct. Yes. The city. Yes, correct. You're right. Sorry. That was weeks ago, and I've already forgotten. But yes, I attended on behalf of State Water Regional, State Water Resources Control Board and Regional Water Quality Control Board. Sorry, Jeff. Thank you for reminding me. An unveiling of a Green Streets project, a low impact development project in the city of Santa Barbara adjacent to the Santa Barbara High School. Thank you.
Nothing to report.
Nothing to report.
Thank you. Ms. Cervantes?
No report for me. Thank you.
Dr. Hunter?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I typically will update the board on environmental justice issues, and so I'm going to take a few minutes to do that. I did not attend any additional meetings within the region during the last period. So there are three different aspects of environmental justice action that's going on within the region involving staff and working with stakeholders as well as communities, municipalities, and counties. First, I want to report on San Gerardo. We have been tracking on this development in terms of their ability to maintain their well and drinking water system. We've been working with the county, and I want to take a moment to thank State Water Board members, including Steve Moore, for assisting with bringing to attention of the State Board staff a situation where the San Gerardo community, which is very competent and very responsible in managing their water system, has gone through many steps now in terms of demonstrating their ability to maintain and operate that system as an independent system apart from the county. The county had indicated that they wanted to put the system up for sale, and we think that that is not the right direction for San Gerardo. We were concerned about many things, including increasing the cost of the water. Monthly cost of water to families that rely on that water system. In any case, it looks, after many months of review and number of steps that have been taking place, it appears that San Gerardo will prevail. We are hoping that the county and the state board will come to the same agreement. But at this point, they have completed their affordability rate study. They have completed all the technical applications and sorted out some of the complications of the system as it's designed. So we hope to have a final word on that in the next month or two. The second area I want to update everyone on is the UCLA project, which we know is one of those rare opportunities to explore a solution for water quality and treatment of nitrate contaminated water in areas, primarily rural and unincorporated areas throughout the region that have very few options for solving high nitrate levels in their water, primarily from domestic wells. At this point, the process has advanced to submitting a permit, request for a permit for discharge from the reverse osmosis treatment, wellhead treatment. This we knew would be the biggest challenge, and so we've been preparing for this. The project has worked very closely, not only with our own staff, but with primarily with state board staff. And at latest report, we understand that state board is very, very supportive of this exploration, if you will, investigation of this particular technology, and may find a way to provide additional monies to do some supporting research to look deeper into the possibilities for finding the correct and appropriate way for the discharge from the treatment system, because there is no infrastructure that goes with this. It's a completely remote, mobile operation. And as our executive officer put it, this could provide what could be called virtual consolidation, where we see small group of homes supported by technology in a way that assures clean drinking water with meeting all the technical and drinking water requirements. The last issue I want to bring up is the Johnson Road community. We're very fortunate that the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water has been working with that community. In particular, this is a very complex situation in that there are a small number of homes, considerably small, 85 homes, that are likely exposed to contaminated drinking water. However, where that the residential area where these folks live is complicated by the fact that there is no way for them to be designated a disadvantaged community, although the community residents who are experiencing this problem on their own would certainly qualify for assistance for low-income residents. So where we are at this point is with the leadership of EJCW working with the community, they are starting a very intense community awareness, building towards developing leadership and understanding of the steps ahead of them in terms of considering different options. Certainly consolidation and looking at the existing infrastructure and water purveyors in the immediate area is one of those options. However, that's a long road. And while there is new legislation in place that allows us to consider this as an option, it would certainly not be one that would offer a short-term solution. In the meantime, our water board has contributed monies, and I know we have grant funds with work from Katie McNeil, and I want to thank Angela Schroeder for her work on this. We have provided some money for interim drinking water supply, emergency drinking water, and we will continue to work with them and continue to look for interim steps and support what we can along the lines of finding a more long-term solution. The important thing is we do have the right agencies involved, including bringing in the Division of Drinking Water staff into the discussion now to really start to put our heads together and figure out what we can do about this situation for Johnson Road. So with that, I will end my report, and thank you for allowing me the extra time.
Thank you, Dr. Hunter, and Mr. Johnson.
Thank you. So let's see. On October 24th and 25th, I attended the annual Water Quality Coordinating Committee meeting in Sacramento, which I found very interesting and useful. There was a couple differences this year. There was much more focus on having regional board members present, and in particular trying to present some lessons, both positive and negative, from how they had done community outreach. On October 27th, I attended Assemblymember Mark Stone's annual environmental breakfast, which at Moss Landing Marine Labs, which is both an update on his legislative agenda and really a chance to connect with and hear from a lot of people throughout the region that I don't normally have contact with, who are doing a range of kinds of work that connects to air and water quality in the environment. On November 28th, I attended in Salinas a meeting at the Ag Commissioner's Office, a workshop on the draft irrigated lands order. And finally, on October 16th, I attended a memorial service for Rich Persoff, who some of you may have known. He was a longtime member of the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency Board, someone who late in life moved from being an engineer to an agriculturalist. I think you can relate to that, Dr. Wolf. And actually spent the last 25 years of his life domesticating the wild mimulus, the sticky monkey flower we see all over the mountains in Big Sur, so that it was an appropriate drought-tolerant garden plant, and he'll be missed. So that's all I've got.
Thank you. And my report on October the 3rd, I attended a Sustainable Groundwater Management Act in Groundwater Sustainable Agencies meeting for the County of San Luis Obispo, which has six basins on different level of priorities as designated by DWR. And on October the 4th, I attended a San Luis Obispo County Water Resource Advisory Committee, which has a representation of all the water districts and cities and agencies associated with water resource within the county. On October the 7th, I attended another meeting pertaining to the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. You know, these meetings tend to increase in frequency because the deadline of spring next year is coming real soon, so there is an accelerated schedule of meetings every couple of weeks. Then on October the 21st, attended a Farm Bureau-sponsored meeting, which is held monthly, in looking at opportunities to capture stormwater for agriculture use as part of groundwater recharge. And these committees are formed of representative of a county water resource division of the resource conservation districts. It includes also the Ag Commissioner's representation. And it includes also representation of Farm Bureau. On the 24th of October, attended, as my colleagues did here, board members, the what we call WQCC meeting in Sacramento. As Mr. Johnston pointed out, the organization of the meeting was different, and this was a year where the chairs had an active role in helping craft a new style of engagement, and this had been also very much facilitated with the help of our liaison, Mr. Steve Moore, who is acting as a liaison with all the chairs in preparation for WQCC. So I want to thank you for your help, Mr. Moore. On November 2nd, attend another Water Resource Advisory Committee with a county. And on October the 10th, a meeting which was organized by the Regional Water Quality Control Board in regard to a workshop and outreach on the 3.0 Ag Order. And this meeting was held at the San Luis Obispo Farm Bureau, And that's basically my report.